We have chair and founder of the Dallas-Fort Worth Coalition of Reason's Diversity Council, Alex Jules. He is charged with addressing the role of diversity in the local atheist community, often through discourse, sometimes through drama. He is responsible for the 2010 Millions of Americans Are Good Without God bus ads, which garnered national attention. In 2012, he was a spokesperson for the African Americans for Humanism campaign. He will be using his expertise to discuss diversity in the atheist community, one of the most important challenges in growing our community today. Please welcome Alex Jules.
All right, my name is Alex Jules, and I am an atheist. We're going to talk a little bit about diversity today, so I'm going to ask a really hard question, especially if there are any students. Please, please answer. What makes me a little different than most of the speakers that you've been listening to the last few days? I got a suit on. No, incorrect. Daryl Ray had one on, actually without the tie. And then, of course, PZ usually has a suit. Next. Anyone? What? I'm not left-handed. All right, there we go. The tie. What? Come on. Everyone had microphone problems. I think I heard someone actually say I was black. Is that you? Is that you? Okay, awesome. Yes, yes, I am black. I'm a black atheist. Yes. Also, according to a mistake by the Social Security Administration, up until about 2 years ago, I was also a woman. And I actually had to fill out a sex change form. Really, the only one that they have, which also makes me. Anybody want to? Anyone? No, a statistic. 0.19% of all SSA data, Social Security Administration data, is erroneous. Right. Okay. So yes, I am a black atheist, and I'm not the only one. Right. We actually have like three more actually out here today. We have almost always been around. Right. You see a lot of historical free thinkers and humanists. Word atheist in the black community and minority community in general tends to be very taboo. We don't like it. But if you take a look at some of the names that I have here. Right, we've got A. Philip Randolph, Butterfly McQueen, Carter G. Woodson, who was one of the founders, actually the grandfather, to Black History Month. He was very, very critical of the black church in general. Right, W.E.B. Du Bois, and of course, one of my favorites, Langston Hughes, who was a poet that did Goodbye Christ. If you haven't read it, please do. A lot of us. All right, so in February, we launched through CFI, thank you, Todd Stiefel, for funding this, the African American for Humanism Awareness Campaign, where we hit about nine cities, New York, L.A., Dallas. I was in Dallas. This is New York, right? This is Leanne Lord, comedian Leanne Lord. She is just juxtaposed with a historical free thinker, Frederick Douglass, right? We had a lot of interesting backlash and feedback from this particular this particular campaign, especially from the black community. A lot of people were just like, people that you're claiming are black free thinkers aren't. They're Christians, and that goes to what James was saying a little bit earlier about loyalty. Okay, I'm actually going to talk about, I think, about three things. One, escaping religion, but what makes it hard? Or so hard and so different being a minority and escaping the grasp and the hold of religion. The second thing I'm going to try and cover is the lack of minority visibility. Wow. In the secular movement. And third, how do we bridge the divide? Okay. All right, so this is my family, so I have to get a little bit personal here. This is one of our billboards. I'm actually going to read you something that I wrote and kept back from the media blitz originally. Right. If you actually take a look, yes, I don't just talk about diversity. I live it. this is really my core family minus one child who's six, who I didn't feel could make a decision to actually be on a billboard. It's me. Thanks. It's not you. It's me. Okay. Better? Okay. All right. So this is what I wrote, and I actually held it back. It was part of one of the NPR interviews that I did. For me, coming out was a slow process. I grew up in the church, went to a private religious school, prayed more than Muslims. One of my earliest childhood memories was wanting to be a priest. There was something good about being in the church, serving my community. Believing in belief is a good thing. That idea is not just common in the black community. It ties you to the black community. My mother, a devoutly Christian woman, made sure I was always at church 2 to 3 times a week. I was a Sunday school teacher. I went to high school and college in New York City, where my faith was challenged by other beliefs and facts. Education was my seed of doubt. I lived in a black Christian haze of ignorance because my culture dictated so. There may be separation of church and state, but in the black community, there is no separation of church and race. September 12, 2001, when I finally called myself an atheist, the gay, I was told that the white man had sold me a lie, and the price was my soul. Price of free thought. I went from being just a doubting Thomas to also being an Uncle Tom. My story is actually not unique, especially in the South. Apostasy very much is social suicide when you are black or in minority group. Greta Christina likes to talk about coming out and talking about a lot of the positive experiences about coming out. In the minority community, we don't have a lot of those, quite honestly. Unless you're a black academic, they tend to give you a little bit more leeway. But the fact of the matter is, to also borrow from that movement, it does actually get better. This is my family now. This is Dallas-Fort Worth Coalition Reason. We had 200 or so people show up for the Pride Parade. That's actually about 10% of the group. We have about 2,000 members of the coalition, which you wouldn't expect for Dallas. And this is my rainbow coalition. All right, so when we're talking about diversity, I really want to try and narrowly focus this. This is very much a talk on race and ethnicity, not gender and persuasion. If you actually look at the numbers, right, 2010, right, non-Hispanic whites alone, these are the projections as of actually 2009, 65%, right? And if you take a look at 2020, you've got about 60%. So you begin to see an interesting trend, especially if you start looking up top there, where you have the minorities that are projected at least by 2050, the minorities are going to be the majority. All right, so pick up Darryl Rae's book on your way out if you want to try and solve this problem. All right. Okay, so it, a little slow. All right. One of the things that we all get very excited about, is this wonderful number, right, that James talked about, which is the nuns. Nuns does not mean atheists. So I look at this number and I get happy, and I go to conferences and I hear this, and I hear that's progress, and I'm like, that's great, but that has absolutely zero bearing on the African American and Latino community. A better number to actually look at is, you know, how do we define the stronghold or foothold of religion, right? Okay, this interesting number here actually is closer to conventional wisdom. That's probably atheist. You can, you know, there's no such thing as God, right? Belief of God? No belief in God. All right, got it. All right, there is no way to know. You'll have the atheist, agnostic atheist, lumped in there. I'm not sure. That's nice and blended number. But the number to really pay attention to is this one, this about 70% number. There is definitely a personal guide. Again, not great numbers, but if you take a look at where we were a couple of years ago, it's better. Again, general population. When you take a look at what's actually happening in the African American community, we're not seeing much movement, right? We're seeing right here 90% hyper religiosity in the African American community. This is my problem, right? 20%. The other thing you probably want to look at is, say, religion is very important in their lives. We've seen drops, right? We're closer to 55% general population, African American community, close to 80. Latino community is actually a little bit better. They don't like the word atheist either, right? Even though the word ateo actually is Latin, they don't like the word atheist, right? But they will say that about 8% of them are secular. Again, that is progress because conventional wisdom says that the Catholic Church has a stronghold on and almost define you as being, you know, if you're Latino, you're probably Catholic. All right, so why is religion in these communities so sticky? I think the first one I tried to at least cover, right? It is an issue of identity. Second piece is cultural coherence or isolation. I actually go and travel, do occasional talks, but I actually travel for work. And I go in places in L.A., Chicago, Mississippi, and New York. I will occasionally visit a church. It is one of the most segregated places that you can find. I go into black communities, and my wife, who happens to be white, goes in there with me, and even in places in New York where we have black and brown children that will say they've never actually met a white person, right? That's the limit of exposure. I go into some places in Louisiana, Alabama, et cetera, L.A., and I have kids, places in upstate New York, little white children that will come up to me and try and rub my color off just to see if it's real, right? It's 2012, right? So I'm going to focus a little bit more on these three: reinforcement of stereotypes, educational discrepancies, and personal hardship. This is probably some of the places that we actually can make some level of progress. All right, I got to take a deep breath for this one. Okay, so when I walk in and immediately start talking about who's famous, talk about, you know, black fame, who's in the media right now. Well, Steve Harvey is always in the media. He's got this wonderful, wonderful book. Not really. Called Think Like a Man, Act Like a Woman. Okay, hold that for a second. We have D.L. Hughley, who's in and out of popularity. Denzel Washington. We've got Tom Joyner and Ricky Smiley, two very popular morning show hosts. Kanye West, Jesus Walks, right? And Mr. Madea himself, Tyler Perry. All right. So one, this is primarily, one of the issues that we have is, yeah, this is sports and entertainment figures. Pretty much every single one of them is anti-atheist, right? Steve Harvey has said in his book that is written for relationship advice, if you are a woman and you are with a man and he says that he is an atheist, pack your bags and leave. He has no moral compass. He is pushing into the Dallas school systems, trying to buddy up and partner, and he's pushing the Bible, peddling the Bible, trying to get kids back in church. Same thing with Tom Joyner and Ricky Smiley. They want to make sure that they're able to bring school prayer back in church, because that's what we need. That fixes things, right? Pray, get on your knees, okay? On this side, we have our unelected officials, Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson, who claim their legitimacy through the civil rights movement, right? Okay. And so we have this level of unearned fealty to these two gentlemen, right? Okay. Not saying that what they do is wrong and it's not important, but being a minority within that minority group, they don't represent me. Eddie Long, anyone want to Google that? Please just do that. And then T.D. Jakes, Mr. Oprah, right? Can't escape T.D. Jakes, mega pastors. The black church since 1980 to 2000 is estimated to have brought in roughly $420 billion in profit. How many colleges, how many college students would we have been able to put through college? Right. Okay, now this gentleman typically would not make it onto this slide. However, I think it's important. He is one of my personal nemesis. That's not exactly why he made it on here, though. When we did the Good Without God bus campaign, he's the one that led the boycott, or he threatened a boycott of the Fort Worth Transit Authority. They actually changed their policy so that there will be absolutely no religious ads on the bus at all, right? So you don't get it, we don't get it, but we're going to make sure that you sure don't get it. All right. Next thing, when we did the AAH billboards, in general, comes from the devil, right out of the pits of hell. I think they're crying out. And my favorite, they have a hole in their soul. And then about me, which, of course, my daughters absolutely loved. Blacks can go to hell, too. Okay, now, why is this important, you say? Are you sure it's not just personal? No. Take a good look. Right. Yeah, okay, so if you actually go on the website, it actually says God's appointed leader. And he will probably win. He is May 29th. Right. So if you take the information that I gave you about the shifting demographics, and there's absolutely no change in religiosity or hyper-religiosity in the minority community, what do you think the House of Representatives is going to look like in 20 to 30 years? Ta-da! Okay, so when we do come out, this is the kind of stuff that we have to deal with, right? So this is actually my ad, just a clip of my ad. I had people that were putting up websites. It's my favorite, right? Satan wants black people in hell and not believe in God, right? Okay, and so of course, right, it's unfair for atheists to be able to place billboards wherever they want, right? Okay, this is also one of my favorites here, right? If something should occur, this activist Al Chul's life to, infected with AIDS or an incurable disease, would he expect to just die or fall on God? Now, this particular website influenced a lot of the emails that I got, and as you can imagine, they were interesting, to say the least. Okay, so, educational discrepancies. We like to think that as atheists and free thinkers that we are usually the smartest people around. And there is data to support that. Well, correlation is not causation, but let's say it is just for a second, right? Let's just say it is. We have a problem, right, where we have an achievement gap in the minority communities, right? And this is not very funny. Black college student graduation rates, 42%, 20% lower than whites. Hispanics do a little bit better at 51%. However, the bachelors are taking about 6 years. So I can't really have an academic argument with the group of people that just aren't there yet. Okay. High school, right? The numbers are, right, the last slide, you want to see big numbers. This slide, you want to see really, really low numbers. Fact of the matter is, since 1980, the numbers have gotten really good, relatively speaking. 2009, let's see, whites, we had 5.2%. Black populace, we have 9.3%, almost double, right? And then when you take a look at the Hispanic population, you have 17%. And if you don't think that abstinence-only programs being taught in public school has an effect on that, think again. Okay, so it is a little difficult being a minority. I will attest that. You'll have to take my word on this. But this is one of the realities that keeps religion in these communities so firmly, right? This is the discrepancy. This is based on March's figures. 8% overall unemployment, not great numbers, but better than the 9 and potentially 10 that we were looking at. In the white community, we actually see 7%. Yay! Black community, we're seeing 15%, and it's stagnating. We've seen close to 20%. Hispanics, we've seen 10%. Right? Poverty rates, right there. I don't even like repeating these. 1 in 10 white children, 1 in 4 minority children, and rates of acceleration. Right. Okay, so what is the alternative to the opiate? What are we going to do to unstick these people? Well, prayer and false hope actually goes a long way, unfortunately. So what kind of secular alternatives are we going to provide people? Okay. What are we going to do to counter the false hope? I would be one of the first people to walk into a church or walk into a home and say, get off your knees, stop putting that money into that plate, save it, right? Send your child to college instead. Do that. But there's not enough people that are willing to do that. Changing perception and minds through targeted outreach, right? We're not doing this in the movement, right? We like to call ourselves humanists, but it seems to be targeted to just about everyone but people that look like you, unfortunately. And I understand why we have the issue. We're still black, brown, we still have this racial divide. But if we're going to change that, if we're going to reach into those communities, you have to go into those communities. And then, of course, secular prison outreach, which is actually something that I've been working on as well. You have a captive audience. Bad. You do, and amazingly, we have had a lot of people that have reached out to us and said, hey, I'm tired of, you know, God didn't help me not get in here, and all I see is Bible thumpers. I need a secular alternative. I'm done with God. There's a huge untapped population they're screaming and waiting for help, and we're not really doing much to help them. That's secular sobriety. Anyone who's a therapist and knows AA knows that that's not going to unbaptize you. That's not going to get you there. AA is a reinforcement of belief. So let's say that you're able to escape the vortex of religion, right, as a minority, right? Okay, where do I go next? Where am I going to go? Right? I hear the face of the new face of atheism is this. That's not appealing to me, right? That's not. And this goes to the argument that that atheism is for white academics or white academia, right? Three of the four, right, are educators. The fourth has one hell of a pedigree, right? So nowhere for me to go. Talked about the Reason Rally earlier and the American Atheist Convention, which was awesome, right? There was so much diversity. I mean, it was amazing. Grace Creek, it was just absolutely amazing. Right, Liz actually said, you know, the atheist community is a diverse community. Right? Yeah, we've got people here from all genders, races, religious backgrounds, and sexual orientations. Like, yes, absolutely, yes. And people are talking to me and saying, hey, I can't wait to see you at the next convention. It's like, okay, this is awesome. This is awesome. People in Dallas that I didn't know were walking up to me and said, hey, yeah, I saw you before. Like, this is great. And this is her version of reality. So a couple of weeks later, I'm invited to go speak, and this is my reality. I'm still walking in, and I'm still the only one. which it is what it is. No, it's not. So I asked, I reached out, I spoke to about 200 minority atheists, and I said, why aren't y'all coming out? Well, you know, I thought we had a connection at the rally. And I'm still the only one here. And their response is, you're not talking about what we want to talk about. Well, what would that be? And it's like, well, interesting you ask, because you're the first one to do so. Okay, so now you're beginning to see the issue. And this is it, right? Traditionally, it's upside down, right? They do want to talk about church and the separation of church and state because it's important. And we think that it influences everything, right? But the very next thing, and it does shift between the Latino community and the Black community. Amazingly, the Latino community tends to be more interested in these social justice issues, not the African Americans, but it's right up there. The third piece is LGBT issues. Reproductive rights are out there as well. And then the academic argument or discussion. I mean, that, again, they're just not there yet. Okay, so given those are the facts and that's our version of reality, you know, how do we look at growing the diverse collective? All right. You got to do what we're looking at doing. Increase activism and diversity outreach. Our voice should be your voice. Put minorities in the spotlight. They don't have to be superstars. On almost a daily basis, when I talk to African-American humanists, to the secular movement in general, I always get asked about Neil deGrasse Tyson, right? But you have Tyson. No, we don't. He has said on numerous occasions that he is an ist. That's the only ist he will accept the label for, right? He's not an atheist. That's it. Okay, so we're not going to get him. Next is don't ignore us when we do show up. If you do find yourself in a situation where you do see just one Black person or one minority, a lot of times Latinos tend to be able to blend and disappear. But people that look like me kind of stick out a little, right? Don't be afraid to say hello. It goes a really long way. Quite honestly, I think the only reason why I'm in the movement is because of the local DFW coordinator, Dr. Zachary Moore, saw me almost 4 years ago in the corner as I was deliberating whether I was going to stay or not. He saw me, he introduced himself to me, and glommed on. And ever since then, he has found a platform for me to be heard, right? So, yeah. And remember our names. It's not like you need another unique identifier, right? Okay, so yeah, how many purple ties are you going to see here? Okay, I don't know. Like, it's a black guy. Okay. And same thing with going from convention to convention to convention. I don't expect every speaker to remember who I am, but it goes a long way when you do give us a spotlight. People like Del Rey and JT, you know, I see Del Rey all the time, and he runs up to me and says, hey, Alex, how you doing? How's the wife? How's the kids? Again, it makes the movement much more approachable, makes it more human. Again, JT is great at doing that as well. Acknowledgement from people like our YouTube superstar and hometown hero, Aaron Raw, right? So yeah, remember the names. Support your local minority groups, right? Yes, go out there, and they're going to be in neighborhoods that are going to make you feel uncomfortable. So what, right? We're trying to induce or introduce change. So if I have a unique position where I have one foot in the general free thought and atheist movement, and I've got another one that tends to be, you know, has a lot of different shades to it, right? That's diversity. Right now, there's not a whole lot of overlap. We are separate, and I don't want to see it actually continue to drift apart when there's so much at stake, you got to live diversity. Put diverse faces on your billboards. Don't wait for me to do it. I will. But don't just wait for me to do it. And then develop your own councils on diversity. If it's that important to you, act on it, right? Because that's the only way you're going to change this into that. All right. I think that was all my time.
Do we have time for questions? Okay. I think we have time for some questions. And I also wanted to plug the African Americans for Humanism campaign that came out in February. Yeah. That's so good. I really liked your video, and you should watch it and check them out.
Thank you. They're all
really good.
Hi, Alex.
Hi.
Thank you for being here. And I'm really grateful for everyone who stayed, because this is a very important issue. I was a Jehovah's Witness. I ran when I was 18, and then I decided to do self-brainwashing and get into the Pentecostal movement. The sad part is, when I decided that I was indeed an atheist, all I saw, and I was very happy, were white atheists who took me and babied me. But there was a void. No one looked like me. And I was directed to Facebook, which in turn led me to Meetup, which in turn led me to the Michigan Atheist. And it's sad because we count how many people look like us.
Yeah.
And so I went to this white woman. I said, what are you going to do? And she said, no, honey, what are you going to do? And she put me on her shoulders and lifted me up. And so we have Minority Atheists of Michigan. But the point is, there's still minorities and non-minorities, and we need help bridging the gap. I'm so grateful to see all of these people who stayed and paid attention. But I don't want it to stay in this auditorium, because we need help after this convention. So just as I've been challenged, I'm challenging each and every one of you. Help us, because we're helping you. I'm a part of like 20 meetup groups, and I do my best to go to everyone. But can you guys help us? We're all not a stereotype. We do have an intellect. We like to learn. But besides the science, there are social issues that are real. This is our reality. We are victims of driving while black. You can't understand that. But it'll be nice to have a shoulder to cry on, someone to listen to us and take us serious and say, oh, it'll be okay. Because you don't drive in my neighborhood. So I'm just asking, will you guys help us? The way I drove 7.5 hours from Michigan to be here to be part of this awesome environment. Will you help us?
What was your question again?
thought experiment. If I have a chance to persuade 3 black people or 10 white people, and I can only do one or the other, which should I do in your estimation?
To persuade?
Yeah, so you got 10 white Christians and 3 black Christians, and I can only persuade one of the two groups. What should I do? And I just want to understand your values. And
my values?
No. I think it's a legitimate question of, I don't know.
Okay, if I were to look at the efficacy, I would say you probably have better luck with the white Christians, quite honestly.
Mm-hmm.
The idea of a lot of African Americans don't believe white people have their best interests at heart. So you espousing this message of hate and ignorance and God is not love and God is not great, that's probably not going to be well received, quite honestly. It's not well received when I do it. And when I did the campaign, I didn't say anything that was anti-God. The only thing was doubts about religion, the word of many. That was it. That was it. And I got spat at. I got death threats. I got people that were sending me email wishing and praying for my daughter's rapes. I mean, that's what I was dealing with. Right? So if that's what I'm coming from you, it's not going to happen.
Well, thanks a lot, Alex Jules. That was a great talk.